cycle. What if I just, instead of giving out the talk of text line, just started giving up Robin Voss's number all the time? I cycle. 844-96 party. What is it?
I cycle. Write it down. 608-237-9163. Call now.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the 11 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry, along with Jane Matinair on the board. And it is Thursday at 11, which means it is time for a public service announcement with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. How are you, doctor?
I am all right, although I'm in Arizona and we are setting, yesterday, Phoenix set a record for hot. The low in Phoenix yesterday was 97. The low was 97.
Oh, that just sounds awful.
I feel like every morning this week when I've been reading the headlines and stories, almost every day there's something about how hot it is everywhere.
Yeah. And, you know, apparently this happened like in like 1974. But the thing that's different is it cooled down at night. But Phoenix has been built up so much with so much pavement that it can't cool down in between these really hot days. So this is another one of those ways where we have not taken care of our environment appropriately. Yeah. And now we are suffering the consequences. Let's be thoughtful, people. Health problems result if we are not thoughtful in the way that we build our environment and the way that we take care of each other.
Absolutely. So how are you staying cool?
I am inside. Air conditioning.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, let's get right to it. If you have a question for Dr. Lyerly, feel free to text us or call us 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. Or if you're listening to the podcast, you can shoot us an email at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. But we do have a question from a listener that came in after our segment last week. Hello, I have a question for Dr. Lyerly for public service announcement, please. I know frequent porn use can lead to health problems for men, such as erectile dysfunction. Are there any similar health problems that can develop for women?
So I'm going to cut to the chase right away with this question, because the research on the effect of porn is really like chicken and egg. We don't know. It's all over the place. You can prove almost anything because, I mean, think about it. How do we get this information? Well, it's surveys. Well, who takes surveys? Is it people who are willing to talk about sex? You know, your friends who are not willing to talk about sex are not going to take these surveys. So again, the data is all over the place. And ultimately, it comes down to individuals and what is important to you, what your values are, how comfortable you are, and what happens in your world, like so many other things that involve our health. Having said that, though, I would say I would want our listeners to know that a third of the people who use porn are women. Mm-hmm. Women are less likely to use it, and they tend to use less when they do use it. But I mean, that's a pretty substantial amount of women that use porn.
Yeah,
are you
absolutely
surprised by that?
No. I don't know if that's just about me, but no.
And it tends to be younger and more educated women too, for what it's worth.
Oh, that's interesting. Is there similar, I don't know, because I don't know if it's studies, but as far, again, because you say it's, so much of this is self-reported, of like porn addictions among women, is that as common or do we not really have information about that?
Well, does porn cause porn addiction, or is there some sort of a personal thing that causes people to seek out porn? See the chicken egg thing?
Yeah. Well, I guess when I think of whenever I've heard about, you know, kind of the detrimental, but the, you know, some of the negative externalities that can happen with easy access to online porn, especially for young people, is like, this is what they're learning of like what real sex is, and it's not. Or, you know, the expectation of like real sex being more and more extreme, because porn can sometimes be more and more extreme. But then also the fact of like some people who become reliant on that, they need that much stimulation in order to reach completion. And so those are the kind of things that, like, I don't know if there's numbers or data on like the discrepancy between men and women when it comes to those outcomes. And that's when I think of when we start thinking about like, I need this to do X.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what some of the data shows, and again, like this is not conclusive, but some of the data shows that women who use porn, whether it's with their partners or alone with masturbation, they tend to have higher sexual satisfaction, not only for themselves, but also with their partners, because they seem to have a better understanding of how their body works, and they seem to be more confident in those interactions. And a recent study out of Valparaiso substantiated that finding. Now, let's talk about education and people who are using porn for education, because we know that sex ed is something that a lot of schools are not teaching, and a lot of people are getting to the point of sexual maturity without having really learned about what that means. Those are the people who are getting their information from porn sites and may feel that porn is the same as sex, which, let's be clear, it's not. Porn is entertainment. So again, we come back down to, what are the individual circumstances in your life? Is this something that is augmenting your own sex life? Or is this something that you're using to replace a gap, an educational gap, and you're getting bad information?
That's super interesting. This is a public service announcement on As Goes Wisconsin with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. And the question was a question about if the assumption that is, I guess, not substantiated, that frequent porn use for men can lead to health problems. And the original question was, is there health problems that can develop for women? But it sounds like both are not necessarily, there's not really proof that either is true, that there's health, there's actual health, negative health outcomes from frequent use for men or women.
100%. I mean, some studies say that there are bad outcomes. Some studies say that there aren't bad outcomes. Okay. And then when you look at who is hosting the study, there you have to consider the source, because there are certainly groups out there that want to suppress free sexuality and information that's out there. And then there are other groups that want us to be able to learn more about that. So this is really complicated, and it's all tied into how our society approaches sex and sexuality. If you do these same studies in places like Sweden, you get very different results, because they're much more open and they're much more receptive to education and having conversations about sex. But I think one really important point to make is many people, I would venture to say most people, have some sort of sexual contact in our lives. So education, real evidence-based, true education, would benefit most of us.
Are you saying that there's a porn lobby? That's what I got out of what you just said. Who's behind some of these studies? I was like, I feel like the porn lobby is probably fun to party with.
I'm not familiar with a porn lobby, but I don't even know where to go with that.
I know. This is where my head went. All right. So moving on to our second topic before we go to our first break. Let's talk about pooping, because everybody poops. And the question sometimes becomes of how, what is the amount of pooping that people should be doing, given, I think there's an old wives' tale that to be healthy, it should be every day. But I've also, there was a new study that came out that says if you are only pooping every 3 days or more, that it could be linked to cognitive decline. So like, what is the actual medical advice as far as like, what does being regular actually mean, Dr. Lyerly?
Okay, so first, the cognitive decline thing, that's another chicken and the egg. Okay. So are they pooping less because of the cognitive decline, or is the pooping causing cognitive decline? I wouldn't even like, don't even pay attention to that.
Okay.
But how often do you poop?
Well, I feel like there's a weird thing because I'm pregnant right now. So it's been very all over the place.
Yeah, so the pregnancy has changed it.
Yeah, absolutely. I've also heard that I recently saw a clip of women talking about that your first poop after you give birth is almost harder than giving birth itself.
Unless you poop.
So I have that to look forward to.
That makes it easier.
What'd you say?
Unless you poop while you're giving birth, and that makes it easier. Although the first baby is not a pretty one.
Yeah, but that does happen, doesn't it, Dr. Lyerly?
Well, yeah. I mean, sure. You've got that big head coming through the birth canal, and it squeezes everything that's already in there out. And I mean, your rectum is right there, so it's not unusual to poop. And a lot of people are really worried about pooping during a vaginal delivery, but it happens all the time. Do not fear. We know how to take care of it. That's the least of your worries.
Well, that's good to know. So for people who are not pregnant, what is kind of a standard rule of thumb as far as measuring their healthy bowel movements?
Totally depends on you. It could be three times a day. It could be three times a week. As long as your poop is of kind of a normal consistency, so not too loose, not too solid. If you're not having to strain to get it out, that's not good for your muscles. It's not good for your rectum. Your rectum can actually prolapse or come out if you do too much straining. So that's something you don't want. I know. Do you know about the poop scale? The Bristol stool scale?
No. I've never heard of a poop scale.
Oh, this is cool. Doctors use this. It's a 7-point scale that goes from severe constipation to severe diarrhea. And we ask people, it has pictures, and we ask people to point at the picture that looks like their poop.
There you go.
That sounds like a fun, sounds like a fun party game.
James, like, I feel like Jane's been extra quiet. She's like, both these topics, geez. is this something you can look up online and then find, like, get some diagnosis of what that says about your health, depending on where you are on the scale?
Oh, for sure. You want to be in the middle of the scale when you've got some easy to push out kind of fluffy poop, but not too fluffy. And you know, think about all of the things. Are we going to break or something?
We got 1 minute left.
Oh, good. Okay. Think about all the things that affect how you poop. It's how are you eating? What are you eating? Are you hydrated? What kind of medications are you taking? What's going on with your body? Are you pregnant? You know, there are so many different things that change and affect the way that you poop that, you know, lots of opportunities to improve things.
Lots of opportunities to improve your poop. That's what I'm taking away from this. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk about Alzheimer's and the new FDA-approved drug that has a lot of hype around it. So we'll get Dr. Lyerly's opinion on that. Again, if you have any questions that you would like to ask the doctor, 844-967-2789. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. Jane Matinair is on the board as always. And this is Public Service Announcement, our weekly segment with Dr. Kristen Lyerly, where we answer questions from you as far as your health concerns. We talk about women's health. We talk about kind of whatever we want. And we just talked about porn, and then we talked about poop. And now we're going to talk about Alzheimer's.
Natural progression.
Awesome.
Natural progression. Those three things totally correlated. So last week, I think this was last week, but I've been seeing so many headlines about this because I think it's a big deal because obviously Alzheimer's is a big deal. And the FDA granted full approval of Leqembi. Is that how you pronounce it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it's the first drug proven to slow cognitive decline for people with early stage Alzheimer's disease. So is this as big of a deal as it seems like it is?
Well, Alzheimer's, as you said, is a really big deal. And we have been looking for something that will help.
Yeah.
This is not a panacea. It is risky. It's expensive. It's very expensive. And it's not for everybody. It's really only for people who are in the early stages of Alzheimer's. So people with mild cognitive impairment or dementia. This FDA full approval makes it much more affordable, but the price tag is still going to be really high for most people who are on Medicare. So it's not going to be accessible for a substantial number of people who would benefit from it.
So what, you know, I know there's a great, is it HBO, I think, that has a great documentary about Alzheimer's. Like, what do we actually know so far as far as, you know, every once in a while, it's like, you know, what can you do individually? Is it genetics? Like, what do we actually know as far as any attempt individually you can make to prevent Alzheimer's?
Hey, Alzheimer's is not the only form of dementia. There are lots of different kinds of dementia out there. And sometimes they are genetic and sometimes they are just kind of age related. And, you know, the best advice that I can give, and this is really general and it's going to sound very like generic, but diet, exercise, a healthy living, being engaged in social circles and having something that you care about. So you're having to think about it instead of just falling into that trap where you are, you know, watching TV, like stimulating your mind has been shown to reduce cognitive decline.
Well, that's good to know. So like word games and like Sudoku and stuff like Wordle and stuff like that. Is that all stuff that people can be like training, they continuing just to train their brain as they get older?
That can be helpful, but particularly social interactions. And during COVID, we really saw this. I mean, all of us suffered because we didn't have social interactions the way that we were used to, mm-hmm. but especially with older folks, they didn't have that engagement that they were used to. And we saw more significant cognitive decline during that period. So, you know, getting out, being involved with your church group or your community group, whatever it is, whatever makes you feel inspired and wanting to get out and talk to people and, you know, just make a difference in the world, make a difference in each other's lives, that will benefit you too.
We talk about this a lot, about finding a charity that just makes you happy, or, you know, Habitat for Humanity, the Humane Society, whatever it might be, food shelters, food banks, things like that. And that's also increases you the opportunity to surround yourself with people who are younger than you, which I find really valuable. That's been really valuable for me.
Yes. And to bring it back to Leqembi, so again, this is not a panacea. This does not solve Alzheimer's disease. It reduces the impact of Alzheimer's disease by 25% or so, but it comes along with it. What comes along with it is the potential for bleeding in your brain. So people need to be followed very closely, and you can't get this medication, which is an infusion twice a month. You can't get it from just anybody. You have to get it from a doctor who has been specially credentialed to offer this medication. And you'll find these doctors in places like Madison and Milwaukee, but I bet you're not going to find one in Hayward or maybe even Chippewa Falls. It's going to be harder for rural folks to even find this kind of treatment. So again, rural folks are at a disadvantage based on provider availability, based on cost.
Well, actually, and it's interesting that I'd always had this question. I think you just answered it for me, that the umbrella. So there's dementia and then there is Alzheimer's is a form of dementia. Because I'd always wondered what the difference between those two things are, because I feel like sometimes they get used interchangeably, but they are, one is a subgroup of the bigger group.
Yeah, I mean, there's Lewy body dementia and there's Parkinson's related dementia. And, you know, unless something has changed, I learned in medical school that you can't actually diagnose Alzheimer's until you do an autopsy on someone and actually look at their brain. What I learned in medical school was that you can guess that it's Alzheimer's because you've ruled out all of the other causes of dementia that can be treatable. And it's a substantial portion of the population. That's why we are so desperate to find an affordable, effective treatment to help these people, as to help all of us. I mean, this is all of us as we age, to help us be vibrant.
Well, That is very interesting. As always, we learn so much when you're here, Dr. Lyra Lee. If you have a question for the doctor for next week, feel free to shoot us an email at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. As you can tell, anything and everything is on the table. We will answer whatever thing you're afraid to ask. We will go there. We just won't curse while we do it. That's the one thing we can't do. Dr. Lyra Lee, I hope you stay cool. Stay in the air conditioning. Drink lots of water, as you tell us to do, but we will see you next week.
Can't wait.
All right. When we come back, we will have Paul Noonan here for a sports update. We're going to talk about women's soccer, the Packers, the Brewers, all of it. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah. Oh, good God Almighty. The man show makes me feel real good.
Nothing you can sing that can't be sung.
Love.
Nothing you can
love.
Say that you can learn how to play the game. It's easy.
Love.
Nothing you can make that can't be made.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry, along with Jane Matinair. And we're welcoming back Mr. Paul Noonan for a sports update. If you are new to this segment, Paul Noonan covers the Packers for the Shepherd Express and Acme Packing Company, and also hosts podcasts Reporting is Eligible, which is about the Packers, and Milwaukee's Tailgate Podcast, which is about the Brewers. And then sometimes we talk about other things outside of the Packers and Brewers, like women's soccer.
Yeah.
How are you doing? It's been about a month since we've talked to you.
It's been a little while. Had some vacation mixed in there, but doing pretty well and actually looking forward quite a bit to the Women's World Cup coming up here. Should be
too.
A fun one. Yeah.
It should be fun. And it is, we actually kind of got away from us yesterday with the topic, but I wanted to talk about it yesterday. But I also just feel like this is every year. It feels like there's more momentum with just women's sports in general. Like this year was so great for the women's NCAA tournament.
Yep.
And Caitlin Clark and all of the hype around that. And it just feels like there's more money going into women's sports. And it seems like this year, especially with the Women's World Cup, they're like out of, like they sold out almost completely of advertising. Like it's a big deal.
It's a big deal. I think that's really not the main story, because we have a really good team in it as well. Yeah. But for anybody who like is still dismissing the growth of women's sports, they should really pay attention to this in particular, because the rest of the world clearly cares a ton about it. For a long time, the U.S. would just kind of walk over people. They've won the last two, but this is very competitive now. There are likely not going to be sort of those 8-0, 7-0 games that have happened occasionally in the past. Every other nation on earth has put a lot of resources into their women's soccer team, and this will not be a walkover for the United States. England is outstanding. A lot of the other sort of mid-tier countries are going to actually be legitimate contenders. And the United States is in a fairly tough division. I think England's division is a little, or their bracket, their group, whatever, is a little bit tougher than the United States's, but the United States is also quite difficult. So this is going to be a really competitive tournament with a lot of very high quality soccer. And the United States will be tested, I think, more than they ever have been in any of their international competitions.
And which is exciting, which is obviously it's more fun to watch great games than blowouts, even if you're the team blowing it. People out. It's like, well, great, we won, but was it entertaining? Was it fun? And so our first game is tomorrow at 8 p.m., which I'm very excited about, against Vietnam. But who else is, I actually don't know. Do you know off the top of your head of who else is in our first
group? I believe we have the Netherlands and Portugal in our group.
Okay.
And the Netherlands are quite good, if memory serves. Portugal is, you know, pretty good. Most of the European teams are going to be at least competent. Netherlands actually pretty good. And even Vietnam was, I would say, a good plucky story out of the Asian group play, and put together some really good play. They do have one European player as well. And the high level Euro leagues are actually now, like what they do with the men's, they draw from everywhere. And so everybody is starting to get that high level club experience in addition to, you know, international play. So it's a tough group. I've seen it either as the toughest or second toughest group to England's, and Even Vietnam will not be a walkover. They are a good team, and the United States will actually have to bring it if they don't want to get surprise upset. So it should be a fun one.
That's awesome. So then as far as kind of our new players, I would say in 2019, if you paid attention, Megan Rapinoe, huge star, Alex Morgan, huge star, go Bears. She did play at Berkeley. The answer to our trivia question yesterday was Rose Lavelle, who played for the Badgers.
Yep.
But there's some at least one person who is on the team who is the highest paid player and has a pretty famous dad.
Yeah, we should talk about Trinity Rodman, who I think is the youngest player on the team, is one of the youngest players in the NWSL, plays for Washington, and is an outstanding, either 19 or 20 year old at this point, was drafted as an 18 year old, and is likely to see time, and one of the most exciting players in the sport. When it's all said and done, I won't be surprised if she ends up being better at soccer than Dennis Rodman was at basketball.
That's saying something. I mean, because Dennis Rodman, his antics were certainly sometimes outshone how good he was, but he was good.
Dennis Rodman was a really good player, a little bit of a weird player because he concentrated only on rebounding and defense, which was useful for the Bulls because they had Michael Jordan. She is an outstanding ball handler, one of the best players the United States has ever produced. Men's or women's. And it's nice to see that, we have kind of a lot of old guard on this team. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a nice sort of passing of the torch to see some young blood actually start to turn into their own level of stardom. So she's one to keep an eye on. She's one of the best US players already. It helps to have experience, but this is how you get it, by making the national team as, a 19-year-old or 20-year-old.
I just want to say how delighted I am to know that offspring of Dennis Rodman can do something as normal as play soccer. Yeah, I just find that reassuring for some reason.
For all of his antics, when people talk about Dennis Rodman just having conversations, they're usually pretty normal. He is weird. He hangs out in North Korea and stuff. But when he talks to people, he's allegedly kind of a normal guy. So, takes all kinds.
There you go. There you go. All right. Well, the last thing before we move on to other sports, I wish it was, because since this is an audio format, it's never made sense to play this on the air. But if you can, and I'll link it to today's show notes, the best, and I don't know how competitive France's women's team is supposed to be, but the ad for their team was one of the best sports ads I've ever seen. And you shared it again with me this morning, so I'll let you describe what the premise is.
It's so good. So it comes on, and it's confusing because it's an ad for the France women's national team, and it's all men. And if you're not paying that close attention, you might not notice it there. But it is a bunch of men's soccer players making brilliant plays, good footwork, like bicycle kick shots. And it is genuinely okay, this is fine, but is this just a sexist ignoring of the women's team and the men's team? And then it cuts to a smash cut of visual effects work. And what they've done is turned a bunch of their women's national team plays into male overlays. So it is all of the women's team making those great plays. And it's just really cool to contextualize those plays as anybody who's just stumbling into it is oh, yep, those are men making great plays. But no, those plays were all made by the women's national team. And if you remove sort of the gender discrepancy from them, it shows how clearly and how highly skilled everybody on the women's national team is, hitting rockets from outside the box, putting footwork that would put anybody to shame, and making all the same kinds of plays that you would expect from the men's team. It's a brilliant ad. It really, I think, busts through the idea that this is anything less than world-class soccer.
And reminder that the men's France team won in 2018, and they were in the finals for in 2022. So they're talking about one of the best teams in the world.
Perennial powers, one of the best teams, national teams of all time.
It is a spectacular ad. And I'll share it today because it has no words. And also the words that there are in there are in French. It makes no sense to play it on here, but it is so good. All right. Well, moving on to the Brewers. We just gave some Brewers tickets away earlier today.
Nice.
How are we doing?
we're doing well. The Brewers are such a weird team because they have one of the worst offenses in baseball. They, aside from Christian Yelich, who has been absolutely outstanding, and William Contreras, every hitter is below average. But it hasn't mattered because they are the best defensive team in baseball. And they just came off prior to the All-Star break and a little bit after the All-Star break, just destroying the Reds, who are the closest competition in the division, and shutting them out three consecutive times. The Reds are one of the best offenses in all of baseball. They have all these great prospects that they've called up. The Brewers just put on a show of defense and pitching. And they just continue to smoke and mirrors their way to outstanding defensive performances and get just enough out of Yelich and Contreras to make it work. But they're in really good shape. They're at the top of the division. And most importantly, they own the series season tiebreaker over the Reds, who are likely to be their only competition in the division. So they have an extra game on them for the rest of the year. They're playing the Phillies right now. They've split the first two games. They're really kind of rolling. And the trade deadline is in 10 days, I guess 11 days. I think are solidified now as at least nominal buyers. They could use some offense. They always buy a relief pitcher or two, but they're really looking strong. It's a weird kind of strong, honestly. I don't always know what to make of them because they can look awful for extended periods, but they're cooking right now. And Yelich has been a big part of that. He seems to be almost all the way back to MVP form at this point.
Well, that's pretty encouraging.
Yes.
And so then with the couple minutes that we have left, training camp starts a week from yesterday.
Indeed,
and
it does.
I think everyone's excited to see, I guess that the story right now, I imagine, is everyone's waiting to see how Jordan Love looks, right?
That's pretty much it. Yes. They just did sign their last two rookies. So they'll have a full complement of players at camp, which is nice. Really, it's hard to predict anything about the Packers without seeing Jordan Love. The baseline for them for so long has been, well, you have Aaron Rodgers. That's like good for 8 wins, even if they're the worst team in the world all around Aaron Rodgers. Now, there's no telling what they're going to be until you actually see if Love has made tangible improvements to his game. It all starts with the quarterback in the NFL. And any prediction that's been made to this point is just guessing, from myself included. I'm looking forward to the Packers season actually getting started. I'm sick of writing about Aaron Rodgers' antics and things like that. And we'll actually have things tangibly happening next week. So that, I'm glad to have it back.
So put into context how young our team is this year.
It is insane. I mean, in the receiving core alone, there are no veterans left. It's all rookies and Christian Watson. And that's like never happened before for this team. It is young players across the board. Adrian Amos, they're all the Jets. The Jets signed all of them. Randall Cobb, Alan Lazard.
The Jets
Adrian
who
Amos,
now are going to be, what's the HBO show?
Oh, they're on Hard Knocks, which is also amazing.
Yeah, the Jets are on Hard Knocks. So they basically can just go watch all your Packers.
Finally, Aaron Rodgers will have a platform.
Shocking. With a young team like that, no matter how much talent, does it really put the test to the coaches to get that team productive?
The most interesting thing about this season is whether Matt LaFleur's scheme is actually better without Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers didn't like it. There's a lot of things Aaron Rodgers made hard on himself and did brilliantly. Like, he likes to throw bombs outside. That's not an efficient pass in the NFL. LaFleur's strategy is a lot of pre-snap motion, which all the advanced teams use, and a lot of middle of the field work, which a lot of the advanced teams use. And Rodgers hates both of those things. If they run that scheme properly, it's actually a good scheme for young players because they don't have to do a lot of reading mid-play. They kind of know where they're going in advance when the play starts. It's very effective. It's what the 49ers do every year to be good without a good quarterback. So it's really just a matter of, if do we have a good copy of the 49ers coach, which is the Kyle Shanahan tree where Matt LaFleur comes from, or was Aaron kind of carrying this team just through his own brilliant play, which is still possible. He's one of the best ever, and it's hard to tell who to give credit for there.
I'm curious, Paul, how long you think it will take if it's a painful first two games and we don't do well. How long will it take for Packers fans to start screaming about bringing back Aaron Rodgers?
I don't think, well, yeah, I guess they will do that, the Packers fans. I think like 3 or 4 games is probably about right for that kind of thing. And I do think you'll honestly know whether you have something in Love pretty quickly. It's not like he's a rookie coming in here. You know, he's been in the system. He's had actually more plays than Rodgers did when he took over as starter, actually on the field. So Yes, he's inexperienced, but in terms of a guy making his first start, he's really not that inexperienced. And I think we'll know like within 3 or 4 games whether this is going to work or whether the team needs to start making plans for next year.
Wow.
Who's our first game against again?
I don't know. I haven't looked at this.
I don't know off the top of my head either. I was like, wait, so like, I don't even know how hard or good or whatever
it's
we could
probably
expect from the first
Bears
game.
Because they usually start division and end division. That's my guess, but I don't actually know. I'll
we'll find that out. All right. Well,
I'm not there yet. I'm still in training camp mode.
Yeah. All right. Well, you can catch Paul Noonan for reporting as eligible, which is his podcast about the Packers. Milwaukee's Tailgate Podcast on the Brewers and also on Shepherd Express and Acme Packing Company. We will see you in 2 weeks, friend.
Sounds good. See you then.
Bye. All right. We'll take one more break and come back after that with a THC restaurant. Not here, but a review of it. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And Paul was right. It sounds like our first game is against the Bears.
September 10th.
September 10th.
Yes.
I will not be there. Mike, we have family tickets. My parents have 4 tickets. And the first home game, I think, is like the 26th, 27th, something like that, which now will be when I'm getting induced. Going to be basically having the kid. But at first it was like, you know, a week before what we thought my due date was going to be. And Mike was very optimistic. And he was like, let's go to that game with your parents.
Oh, my gosh.
I was like, I don't know. That feels like
a week before you're due. That seems like
a bad idea. I feel like that's going to be really uncomfortable. And then I think both my parents said, you know, you have to climb like 40 flights of stairs to get to the seats. And I was like, yeah,
no.
We're not. You can go, Mike, if you want. I will not be going to that game. I don't know if I'll be going to any Packer games this year, which is fine. I've been good for 1 or 2 since I moved home, but I can watch Jordan Love from home this year.
Exactly. Let him get better. Let him get a little better and a little more in the groove, and then you can go.
Then we could go. We'll go next year. All right. Well, this is obviously not happening in Wisconsin anytime soon. But would you, Jane, go to a THC restaurant?
Now, does this mean it's all THC infused foods?
Yes.
Okay.
So there's a, I'll give you a little more of what's the restaurant in Minnesota.
Okay.
And you can tell me if you would partake or not, if given the chance. A new restaurant is taking advantage of Minnesota's thriving hemp-derived THC industry by putting the products on the dine-in menu. High Flora, !, is advertised as Minnesota's first THC restaurant. Patrons can buy a house-made 5-milligram tincture with their meal and add it to their food and drinks. It's vegan. And it had its grand opening, I think, either earlier this week or last week. It's alcohol-free, but offers mocktails. And so basically in Minnesota, edibles can be sold in a prepackaged child-proof container, meaning cannabis can't be baked into the dishes served to dine-in customers. And that doesn't apply to beverages. But there's nothing against putting a packaged product on the menu that guests can do as they please. So it's basically like you get like a side, like you order your meal with a side of weed.
See, and the first thing I can think of is, why wouldn't you just get high before you go to the restaurant?
See, I mean, I guess it's because of the experience, but the tincture, which costs $10, comes in a 3-ounce bottle with a dropper, and it's blended with either beet, juniper, and several other herbs. So okay. It's... And then I guess you like can season your food with it.
Does this call to you?
Nah.
See, I just feel like I'm being forced to go to this restaurant for something that I can get somewhere else.
Somewhere else.
You know, I mean,
what it reminds me of is there was in college, there was obviously like the Greek life, but then we also had a lot of co-ops. So like co-op living, which always seemed fun. I never lived in one, but it's like, you know, and like each co-op had a theme. So it was kind of to attract the same
type of people,
like-minded people.
Sure.
And there was one that was kind of, shall we say, the druggy co-op.
I can
lack
see
of
that.
Better term.
Yeah.
And every year, and I never attended one. And I'm not saying that because of like, oh, I would get in trouble. Like I'd tell you if I had, but I didn't. I had only heard about it. That every year they did a Thanksgiving dinner where everything was laced with weed. And it was just like comatose as far as like how high people got.
Oh.
But also it's on, if you think about Thanksgiving food, because a lot of everything I know about people who ever try to bake with weed, it has to like melt into the butter. So like everything you think about Thanksgiving food, you think about mashed potatoes and
even the base of the turkey
gravy, and like everything does have butter in it. So like it's just
in everything.
So it's so fattening and it's such heavy Thanksgiving food already. And then you put weed, like lace weed into all of it. And I was like, that sounds like not fun.
It sounds like a big group nap.
I know.
Right?
Just like, everything ends at a...
You have dinner and you got the trip, isn't a tryptophan in turkey that already makes you sleepy. And so you finish eating and everyone just goes into a coma.
It's just a big cuddle puddle sleepover after right. Thanksgiving.
Right.
And so, yeah, like reading about this, I was like, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how this restaurant does, but it also doesn't sound that cheap. So after mandatory service fee and tax, two small plates, a drink, a dessert, and the tincture, it ended up being $90.
Yeah.
And in reality, the shop across the street, I guess in Minnesota, sells 10 5-milligram gummies for $20.
Oh, well, take a couple gummies, go to the restaurant.
Go to the restaurant of your choosing. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But also, speaking of a food that a lot of people sometimes eat when they're high, remember the debate over Taco Tuesday being trademarked?
Oh, big controversy. I know.
It turns out Taco Tuesday is now fair game. So the fight for Taco Tuesday trademark ended on Wednesday. I think it was right before or right after Tuesday. It would have been perfect had it actually happened on a Tuesday.
Seriously.
But Taco John's, which I guess is based in Wyoming, gave up its legal claim to the phrase following the challenge brought in May by Taco Bell. So now any company can now use Taco Tuesday to promote its food. So there is some taco trivia for you today.
Taco trivia on a Thursday.
All right. Well, super fun show today. We will be back tomorrow, as always, at 10 a.m. But thank you to everyone who made today's show possible, everyone who called, everyone who texted, Dr. Lyerly, Paul Noonan, Dom from Devil's Advocates. Dominic Calvia
will be here tomorrow
for our crossover civic media host weekly roundup. Then we're going to be talking to UW professor Greg Nemet about electric vehicles and making the switch, which is something I'm considering because my lease is up in November. And then we're also going to be talking to UW professor Christine Whalen, who I met on 4th of July. She's like the happiness professor at UW Madison. And we're going to talk about Barbie because Barbie premieres this weekend.
I know you're very excited.
I'm very excited about this movie for a variety of reasons. So come back tomorrow at 10 a.m. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.